WTSQ 88.1 FM, the status quo.
We are joined today with state folklorist Jenny Williams of the West Virginia Humanities Council, talking about some exciting programs and all the great work that is being done at the Humanities Council. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us today. It's our pleasure to talk with you. State folklorist, that's a really interesting title. Can you tell me what that means?
As a state folklorist, I manage the West Virginia Folklife Program, and it's a program that is funded by grants from the National Endowment for the Arts. It's partnership funding from the West Virginia Tourism Department, a couple other sources of partnership grants that make this work possible. There are state folklorists or people working in a similar role across the country, and they're based in arts agencies, humanities councils, maybe museums or university positions. It does have a lot to do with sort of this like role of the National Endowment for the Arts and the Folk and Traditional Arts Partnership that exists there. So it's a really fun and cool job because I get to meet artists, traditional artists from across the state. I get to have colleagues in different states who are doing similar work. A lot of my job entails doing documentation of traditional artists who are based in their communities, carrying on important cultural and creative practices that have been passed on generationally.
What led you on the path to become West Virginia's state folklorist?
I've been interested in this type of work since college. I grew up in Maryland, and I used to work for the Maryland State Arts Council, and they have a program called Maryland Traditions, and they had everything from an apprenticeship program to a folklife festival that they managed. And it was a very eye-opening experience for me as a young intern at the time. I wanted to pursue a career where I could do something like that, where you're celebrating your neighbors, where you are learning about the people who live in your community or in your, you know, things that maybe you didn't know before. I was just really inspired by that experience. And so I went to grad school at Indiana University. I have a PhD now in folklore and ethnomusicology. And while in Indiana, I worked at the similar state folklore program there and got to meet a lot of artists in Indiana. And then I moved here in January of 2022 and started working at the Humanities Council. My predecessor, Emily Hilliard, had done a lot of really wonderful work in this role, growing the West Virginia Folklife Program to be such a dynamic program out of the council. And so, yeah, so I've been there ever since, and I've really enjoyed meeting artists, musicians, weavers, people who are carrying on food traditions. So it's a really wide range of focuses that one can have as a folklorist.
I know a lot of our listeners here on WTSQ are familiar with the West Virginia Humanities Council and all the great work that you do. But for those who may not be familiar, could you tell me a little bit about the organization?
Yeah, the West Virginia Humanities Council has been around 51 years. It was established in 1974, and the sort of aim is that it's the partnering organization of the National Endowment for the Humanities, which is a federal organization. In a typical year, we would give grants to historians, documentarians, people who are pursuing projects based in the humanities. That would be kind of our main thing, is grant making. But then there are direct programs that come out of the council as well, which includes the West Virginia Folklife Program that I manage. We also produce the West Virginia Encyclopedia, the Encyclopedia Online, EWV. And we also have a little lecture series, History Alive program. We have a McCrite lecture. We do a lot of different things throughout the year. And oh, I should also say we're a nonprofit. We have a governing board and a staff of 8. And so, yeah, we have a really wonderful team here doing a lot of work to sort of invigorate projects that have to do with the humanities and history in West Virginia.
To dig a little deeper into the Folklife Apprenticeship Initiative, I know it's supported by the Greater Kanawha Valley Foundation and its Narrative Change Grants, which we are too at WTSQ, and we're so appreciative of that support. Could you tell us a little bit more about the Folklife Apprenticeship Initiative?
Yeah, so this is a program that is one of my favorite things in this job. So the West Virginia Folklife Apprenticeship Program has been around since 2017. My predecessor started it, and I have tried to grow it since then. Every other year, we open an application for artists who want to pass on their knowledge to an apprentice. So they apply together to us and we support them with a stipend. And the idea is that they work together for a full year and we'll do interviews with them. And then those interviews are then archived with our West Virginia Folklife Collection. They design their own work plan. I know very little about, you know, the intricacies of some of these practices that people are carrying on. And that's what's so special about it, is that these are art forms that are often underappreciated or overlooked. And maybe there is only a couple people who really could pass it on. So we're looking to support and honor and celebrate those experts who want to carry on this important traditional knowledge, because it's so much more than free lessons in something. It's you're passing on stories, you're attending festivals and events, you're deeply part of the community, you're supporting communities right at the core of, you know, where these cultural practices exist. And so throughout the program, the pairs are working together throughout the year on their own schedules. And I'll have these wonderful Zoom check-ins with everybody, and everyone gets to meet virtually and share what they've been learning. And they'll meet together on these Zoom calls and they will share stories and they will kind of learn from one another and be inspired by these pairs that are a part of the program. And then at the end of the year, then we have our showcases, and these are celebrations. I want to throw a party for, you know, the people that have been a part of this thing and have them meet the public in person. And we try to schedule them so that they are like nearby, so that their families and their communities can come and attend and really celebrate each other and recognize what an honor it is that, you know, you can carry on a traditional practice that you learned from maybe your grandparents or your parents or someone in your community. That's really the main idea of it. The program is primarily supported by a National Endowment for the Arts Grants for Arts Project. And then the Greater Kanawha Valley Foundation really helped us out this year by supporting us with a grant so that we could support the Kanawha County-based pairs a lot easier. So there are three pairs that are based nearby. Then we're going to have a showcase in Charleston. So the grant is going to support these things and our ability to document some of the interviews and the event itself.
How did you go about selecting the artists and apprentices? And, you know, what really makes a pairing stand out to you?
I put out an application. I put out guidelines. I put out kind of an application that people can fill out and turn in. And then we have a panel that meets people who are experts in this program, or maybe they run a program similar to this in their state or something. And so we'll have a meeting of people to review the applications and select the ones that rise to the top. So the mentor and the apprentice, proposed apprentice, will apply together. And the questions entail, what is their background in this traditional art form? How are they recognized among their fellow practitioners or in their community? Like, is this the right person to be teaching this practice? Or is this the best fit apprentice for this person at this time? Sometimes it's very circumstantial. You know, people, maybe they're at a part in their lives when they're, you know, raising a family or like really career involved. And so maybe it's not the right time yet, but we do have people at all different ages participate. Some as young as, oh, how old is he? I think he might be 16 now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the idea is like, you don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to like fit a mold. It's more about how have you presented yourself in this application, that your relationship with your apprentice or your teacher, that you will be kind of well positioned to carry on even after this program. Because the idea of an apprenticeship has been around for years. I mean, forever. And so what we're doing with this program, it's a 1 year program. We're trying to mimic that and hope that they carry on after this grant year is over.
It sounds like you're really keeping these arts alive by bringing on younger people, like you mentioned, like some as young as 16. These arts will continue on generationally over time. It's an excellent program.
And I also want to just stress again that we're not supporting people in a silo. These musicians or weavers or, you know, like people of all different practices, really, they're based in community and they are, you know, meeting other important influences. So it's not just the teacher and the student, but the idea is they're not in a classroom. They are working together in someone's garage studio or someone's aunt's kitchen, or, you know, like there's, it's kind of, it's very rooted in place and community at the same time.
How did the showcases you mentioned and multimedia storytelling, how does that elevate the impact of the apprenticeship?
I want them to be celebrated by the greater community. And I want people to recognize that there's so much talent and creativity and people who are carrying on really important knowledge here in West Virginia. And so I want, like, the documentary work, the interview work, these things are important for showcasing out as well as in. Yeah, so I want to make sure that there's access to this knowledge and recognition that that important traditions are being passed on, like, within the state and beyond.
I saw you have two events coming up that sound really interesting. It's very timely for us to be talking today. First, what do you have planned for the West Virginia Folklife Apprenticeship Showcase that's slated for November 1st?
Yeah, so we have two events. They're a week apart. The first one is November 1st. It's a Saturday. It's going to be here at the West Virginia Humanities Council in Charleston, West Virginia. We are featuring five pairs at this event and our other five pairs at the following event. We awarded 10 pairs this round, which is an increase from our previous years. So at the November 1st event, we will have a pair that's practicing white oak basketry out of Elkins. This is Judy Van Gundy and her apprentice, Andrea Brandon Hennig. The two of them, they've been working together all year. They work as part of the Mountain Weavers Guild. Judy's been a longtime member of the guild. And Judy has always been interested in specifically white oak basketry. So she'll choose a tree and have it taken down, you know, based on her knowledge and her experience, like, this will be a good tree. What they do is they harvest from the inside. They'll like rip apart the wood using their arms and sort of strip down these long strips of wood, these splits of wood. And then they will take a knife and, like, shave off all of the kind of stray, like, splinters and things. And then that's how they have this, like, malleable weaver. And that's what they use to then weave the basket. It's a very utilitarian basket. It's not the prettiest basket in the world, but that's not really the point. It's the idea is that it's a utilitarian product that comes from this one type of tree. And their favorite part is that part where they're making the weavers. Like, that stage is the most interesting to them. That's one example of someone that you'll see on November 1st. Based here in Kanawha County, we have a gardening pair, Darrell Miller and Lanisha Frith. They are based in the West Side. They are both part of the new Miss Ruby's Corner Market. So Lanisha has been learning from Darrell everything about how to raise a garden, you know, how to grow her own produce and other flowers and plants and things like that. So that's been a really special apprenticeship to have this year. They will be there and we'll have, like, a slideshow of some of the photos from throughout the year. We will have, from Campbell's Creek, we have Nancy Nelson, who's been teaching her nephew, Katie Jones, Appalachian candy making recipes. So this comes out of their family tradition, out of their church community. Katie's mom, as well as his aunt, had learned from their mom. And so it's really based in, like, a generational tradition. So they'll have some candies there that you can sample. And then we will also have a couple performances. So Bill Hairston of Kanawha City, he and Aristotle Jones, who's based in Osage nearby Morgantown, they have been practicing a storytelling apprenticeship together, which has been really special. Aristotle's a musician, and so he's been incorporating more, like, elements of storytelling into his performances. Bill Hairston's been around forever, like, part of the Vandalia gathering, and, you know, has been the host of the Liars Contest, and has been sort of a key person in the storytelling tradition here in West Virginia. So I'm really excited to have those two give a performance. And then after them, we'll have Tim Bing, who is based in Cabell County. He's an old-time clawhammer banjo player, and he's been teaching Edwin McCoy, who is from Monroe County, elements of old-time banjo, and they are incredible. I just recently saw them both play at the Hammonds family reunion in Pocahontas County. They're some of the best. And so it'll be a really awesome event on the first. We'll have these artist demonstrations and then some performances, and there will be some food and opportunities to meet the artists.
And what was the time for that on November 1st?
That starts at 1 p.m.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And okay, someone just tuned in. That is at the Humanities Council's offices on the Boulevard?
Yes. Yeah, it's in our historic McFarland Hubbard House on the Boulevard.
Excellent. Well, I see that in case you're not available on the 1st, or maybe you're listening outside the Charleston area, there's another opportunity for an apprenticeship showcase taking place on November 9th. What's in store for that event?
Yeah. Okay. So that event, it will be hosted at Arthurdale Heritage, which is in Preston County, probably about 25 minutes drive from Morgantown if you're in that area. We're really excited to have it there. They have a beautiful space, a really like open space for demonstrations and performances similar to what we'll have in Charleston. But this will feature five different pairs that have been part of our apprenticeship program. So this event will start with some demonstrations from a weaving pair. So this is Margaret Bruning and Nevada Tribble, both of Elkins, West Virginia. They're also part of the Mountain Weavers Guild, and they've been learning sort of elements of fiber arts, everything from natural dyeing to weaving techniques on a loom. Margaret is the president of the Mountain Weavers Guild, and Nevada's a relatively new member, and it's been really special to see how they're both local to Elkins, and Nevada is an incredible artist in her own right, a fiber artist. And so it's been great to see them working together and Nevada sort of growing her appreciation for traditional methods. We will also have a fiddle repair apprenticeship. So Katie McCoy has been learning from Richard Eddy. They're both based in Morgantown. And sadly, Richard passed away in recent months. And so this event is dedicated to his memory. And so we will be recognizing their apprenticeship pair and what they've been able to accomplish. Katie's incredible. I've seen her give a demonstration already on what she's learned. And she's really fun to watch because she will take a broken fiddle that you can buy off of, you know, the Goodwill store. I watched her demonstrate how you put it back together using, you know, kind of force and using different tools and lots of glue and clamps. And so something that you think is so delicate actually takes a lot of effort and a fearlessness to like be rough with it to make it fit. She's really entertaining to watch as she describes how she fixes a fiddle. Then we will have a performance from Ginny Hawker and Mary Linscheid, who've been practicing primitive Baptist hymn singing together. And so Ginny grew up in this tradition, and it's an unaccompanied tradition of singing, and she'll sing from her hymnal. So Ginny's from Elkins and is an incredible musician and has been a singer all her life and really involved in the Augusta Heritage Program. Mary Linscheid, she's been part of our apprenticeship program before. She actually was learning fiddle repair previously from Chris Haddix. And she plays fiddle, she sings, she really carries on this vocal affect that comes out of this tradition of hymn singing. So it's really beautiful to listen to them sing together. This will be a wonderful opportunity to see that happen. I'm looking forward to that. And then following Jenny, we'll have a performance from our old-time fiddle pair. So this is Ben Townsend of Hampshire County. He's been teaching a young musician named Bodie Gibbons-Gwen. Bodie's right over the border in Maryland, actually, in Allegheny County. So for the two of them, this has been really nice because it's not just restricted to West Virginia. I mean, it depends on your application, of course, but for the two of them, they are very close to each other geographically, and it makes a lot of sense for their community of old-time musicians in the Eastern Panhandle that they carry on this tradition together. So they'll be in attendance. They'll play some tunes that they've been learning. And then after these performances, we will have a square dance where we're going to feature our final pair, which is Taylor Runner and Anique Odom, both of Morgantown. They've been practicing square dance calling. So there's a lot to square dance calling. Like you're directing a crowd of people in different moves, and you are listening to the musicians, and there are so many different calls that you can learn in this practice. I'm really excited that we can sort of cap the night with a big dance after all of these performances and demonstrations.
Well, these sound excellent. We have both the November 1st event in Charleston and November 9th in Preston County. Do you have to register in advance or RSVP?
There is a place where you can RSVP on our website. So the West Virginia Folklife blog is wvfolklife.org. And if you go there, you'll see all this information in a post on the blog. And there is an RSVP link. You don't have to RSVP. You can just show up. I hope you do. We have the RSVP for a head count, at least. We hope you can come either way. It's free and open to the public.
What was the web address again?
wvfolklife.org.
Excellent. And if somebody wants to learn more about the Humanities Council, where could they find that information?
wvhumanities.org.
All right. Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Jenny. We've been joined by Jenny Williams, who is West Virginia State Folklorist, talking about the upcoming West Virginia Folklife Apprenticeship Showcase taking place on November 1st and November 9th, both here in West Virginia. So, Jenny, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
It's been so fun. Thank you so much. And thanks again to all of our funders who have made these events possible.
WTSQ 88.1 FM, the status quo.